All of our patrons will automatically qualify for our exclusive prize draw. At the end of the season, 8 of them will be randomly selected and written into one of the thrilling chapters of Season 5. To enter, click the link in our description and sign up as a patron today.
We've all experienced the anxiety that comes with being watched. That feeling of eyes on you even when you're alone. You may be walking down the street at night, finding yourself looking over your shoulder after feeling as though somebody was there. You may be sat watching a film before suddenly being hit with that paranoid sensation, questioning what voyeurs may be lurking in the shadow. We tell ourselves this is just our minds playing tricks on us. Nothing but our anxieties triggering our fight or flight responses in illogical settings. However, there are some out there that believe that there is more to this sensation than meets the eye. Some would say that the reason you feel as though you are not alone, even when you can't see anyone around you, is because there are things that may not always be visible to the naked eye. My name is Luke Mordew, and this urban legend is Shadow People. The idea of seeing shadowy figures in the darkness is so prominent in tales throughout time that it has become a staple in storytelling worldwide. We all have memories that involve piles of clothes transforming into the shape of a figure when we were trying to sleep at night. We've all witnessed a coat hanging on the back of a door, creating the illusion of somebody emerging from the blackness. We've all experienced the sensation of seeing someone nearby, only for them to have disappeared when we turned to look at them. Our eyes and our minds play tricks on us consistently. And we are often overconfident in our ability to understand our thoughts and feelings. That being said, it would be wrong to dismiss the sightings, stories, and reported explanations of shadow people as, without a doubt, their existence expands beyond cultures, through generations, and outside of conspiracy. There are explanations for the supposed connection between shadow people and sleep paralysis. However, this only takes us so far, with many tales of these mysterious beings existing outside of the bedroom, instead lurking out in the open world, arriving in many forms, connecting to specific urban legends such as Slender Man, the Dark Watchers, and the infamous sleep paralysis demons. This is not a belief in a creature. It is not a story of a ghost. It is not a tale of alien life. It is the idea of a mysterious society blending between worlds. Some see them as observers, although many out there fear these shadowy figures come with nefarious intentions. In my telling of an encounter with shadow people, we will follow Josiah, struggling to sleep on a cold winter night. It was late, far later than Josiah would have liked. He hadn't been sleeping right for weeks now, and it was only growing worse. He had tried all the techniques. He drank warm milk, came off his phone at around 10:30, and read a chapter of his book. But none of this did anything to help along a slumber. Usually he avoided looking at the time, trying not to get too into his head about how long he had left until he had to get up for work. But frustratingly for him, he had rolled over and glanced at it out of habit. It was 3:15 a.m. He was up for work in less than 4 hours. He sighed and rolled onto his back, looking up at the ceiling above, studying the patterns that had emerged in the dim streetlights that crept through the tops of the closed curtains. Too much was going through his mind, with a dozen thoughts piling up with every breath he took. So much had changed these past few months. And although he saw it coming long before it did, the fact that his now separated wife, Megan, was still sleeping in their bed meant that he could not relax at home. He was staying in the spare room where he had been for the past month. The separation was mutual, and they had kept a relatively amicable relationship, albeit one filled with awkward moments. They both paid for this house after all, and neither could afford to have to pack up and leave so suddenly. Ultimately, Josiah agreed that he would be the one to go, but they both acknowledged that he would need time to do so properly. It was since this agreement became a clear reality for them that their sleep issues had begun. Usually, by this point of the night, Josiah would find himself stuck in a state of being too tired to think, while simultaneously being filled with so many thoughts they had become nothing but static that fizzled through his brain. He took a deep breath with a gentle sigh, closing his eyes, loosening up his tensed muscles as if to somehow trick his body into feeling rested, but any potential respite was once again disturbed. However, this time, it was not from inside of his mind, but from outside the door. A floorboard had creaked as if somebody had been slowly edging closer to his room, pausing as they accidentally made a sound. He turned his head to look at the bedroom door, seeing nothing but shadow. The moonlight from the landing window shone brightly down the hall, creating a glow that emitted through every gap in the doorframe. By now, his eyes had well and truly adjusted to the dark, so he could see enough to confirm that he was alone in the room. But then he heard it again. A creak. This one was quieter, as if somebody had shifted their weight from foot to foot in the hallway. He lifted his head slightly to get a better look at the doorframe, revealing that somebody was, in fact, standing there. In the crack between the door and the floor, the moonlight crept through, shining off the polished wood below. Except, the light here had been disturbed. There was the shadow of what looked to be two legs, as if somebody was standing in the hallway, watching his bedroom. Josiah sat up, his eyes fixated on the figure shadow that spread into his room from the doorway. Perhaps it was Megan. Maybe something was wrong. Maybe she was contemplating coming in and joining him tonight. He rubbed his eyes and swung his legs off the bed, now sitting at its edge. Whatever it was she was doing, she was seemingly contemplating whether she should knock or not. "Come in," he said calmly, letting her know that he was aware she was there. The shadow moved slightly as if startled by the sudden sound of his voice. But it didn't go anywhere, remaining still in the spot. Josiah got to his feet, deciding that he would choose for her. She always needed a nudge to open up and communicate after all. He arrived at the bedroom door, preparing a welcoming smile to ensure that she understood it was okay that she was there. But as he pulled at the handle, he revealed nothing but an empty hallway. The moonlight bounced off the picture frames. The side table remained still, with the flowers rested upon it in a vase. But nobody was there. Josiah stuck his head into the hallway, peering down at his old bedroom door, but it was closed. He was confused and concerned. There was somebody there. He could have sworn it. He looked down at the floor to see if the moonlight had created a shadow through the table legs, one that he could have mistaken for a human. But this shadow sat in a different place, spread more along the wall. What he had seen must have been right outside his door, exactly where he was standing now. He was tired. He hadn't slept properly in some time and was most likely only half awake. And so he brushed it off as a strange and unusual event and got back into bed. The next day had been grueling. Josiah had used all of his energy to get through the working day, which had luckily been more relaxed than usual due to his manager being off sick. He'd eventually slept the night before, but it couldn't have been more than 3 hours before having to get up for the commute. He was now one of the lucky ones who had managed to grab a seat on a crowded bus, although this meant he was pressed closely against the man sat beside him. Josiah kept his bag on his lap, trying to stay cool as the human bodies inside raised the vehicle's temperature, causing a wall of condensation to mask the windows from the darkness outside. Winter during a weekday was bleak, as many arrived at their offices whilst the sun was only rising, with it already set before they headed home. That being said, vitamin D was the least of Josiah's worries right now, and sleep was something he found himself thinking of more and more. He rested his head against the glass, no longer caring about the wetness of the condensation on the side of his head. He needed to grasp at every moment he could to get to rest. He closed his eyes, trying to drown out the sound of the other passengers, skimming through social media on their phones, blasting out video after video. He usually put in his earphones to drown out the sound, but he had forgotten to charge them, too distracted by the anxieties of another night of restless sleep. It was only when his earphones were no longer with him that he would realize just how dependent he had become on them, finding himself already far more uptight and uncomfortable than he would have been usually. The bus suddenly came to a halt, as if the driver had forgotten where the next stop was supposed to be. Josiah listened to the doors opening, followed by the sounds of footsteps onto the pathway outside. It wouldn't be much longer until he was home, and at least the bus would become less crowded the further out of the city they got. However, a new sensation was now creeping into his mind. It was as if a ghostly fingertip had gently stroked the back of his neck. He opened his eyes and lifted his head, now filled with the eerie sensation of being watched. He looked around the bus, studying the diverse range of faces staring down at their phones, all trying to distract themselves from the hustle and bustle of rush hour. He turned his head to the window, studying the silhouettes of the people outside. Some were still slowly making their way off the center of the bus, whilst a line of people filled their spaces as they got on through the front. But it was then that Josiah noticed something else. By the entrance of a closed shop, behind all of the commuters, standing in the shadow of the shutters, was the figure of a tall man, simply standing and staring up at the bus window. Josiah couldn't make out the man's face. In fact, he couldn't make out much of him at all, but something about him felt strange. He wiped the condensation off the window, trying to get a more precise look through the now smudged glass. But it didn't help. The figure remained a blackened silhouette. Josiah couldn't quite put his finger on why, but he knew deep in his heart that whoever this person was, they were staring directly at him, watching him through the wet window. Josiah didn't look away, staring directly back at them, squinting his eyes to focus, trying to make out any details. But, as if he was trying to actively avoid this, the shadowy figure took a slow step back into the dark, where he seemingly disappeared. The bus hissed and the engine rumbled as the doors closed. The air swiftly began to heat up again as the varying bodies filled every space possible. But Josiah was no longer bothered by this, now entirely focused on the road outside where the shadowy figure once stood. He had seen things the night before, almost entirely due to tricks of the light and lack of sleep. But he had never witnessed something out and about before. Not like this. He rubbed his eyes with his index finger and his thumb before taking a deep breath that morphed into a yawn. This couldn't continue. That night, Josiah was back in bed, staring up at the ceiling once more. There was less pressure to sleep this night, as it was a Friday, and he could wake up whenever he wanted. Although, this made no difference to his restless mind. This time, he wasn't overthinking the events of his life. He was instead completely fixated on this shadowy figure that was seemingly always watching his movements. He had briefly spoken to Megan when she got in from work. He had asked if she had gotten up at all in the night. She confirmed that she hadn't, and had actually slept like a baby. He played it cool, acting as if he had just heard a noise and wondered if it was her. He didn't need to share what he had been experiencing. It was nothing, just fragments of lights and shadow in the darkness, merging in confused patterns through his exhausted eyes. He calmed his breathing, reassuring himself that he just needed to rest before turning to lay on his side. But as he did, he noticed something in the corner of his eye. Something that horrified him. Out of instinct, he went to turn his head to look directly at it, but suddenly he found himself unable to move. With this realization, his heart began to pound, thudding hard against his ribcage. He was utterly frozen. Only his eyes could move as they scanned around him frantically. In the corner of the bedroom, beside the shadow of the wardrobe, were two glowing red eyes, staring directly at him from across the room. Josiah was now straining his eyes, pushing them as far as they could to get a better look at what was there. He could only watch as they slowly rose into the air, now higher than the wardrobe itself. He wanted to scream. He could feel the urge to do so growing inside. The tension of his nerves was straining under the force of his want. However, nothing worked. It was as if the circuits from his brain to his body had been disconnected. The dread rose through his body as the red eyes slowly made their way forward, revealing that they belonged to the exact shadowy figure that had haunted him. It stood tall and slender, around 7 feet in height, creeping forward as if curiously watching every inch of his body as it drew closer. No longer was it hiding in the distance or within the darkness of obscure corners. This shadowy figure was now standing right in front of him, looming over his bed, staring down at him, its red eyes burning into his heart. It was daylight, and suddenly Josiah could move again. He shot up in his bed, studying the room around him, finding it empty and undisturbed. He was confused. It had seemed as though seconds earlier he was about to finally be taken by the demonic-like entity that had haunted his nights. Yet, in an instant, it was all over. Was it just a dream? It felt so real. He could remember it clearly. He jumped out of bed and paced towards the wardrobe, slinging the doors open, but inside was nothing but clothes. He pulled them aside, ensuring nobody was hiding amongst them, but there was nothing but the wooden backboard. He dropped to the floor, peering under the bed frame. But once more, there was nothing to see, bar an old suitcase and a boxed Christmas tree. He jumped back to his feet and stretched out his body, his thoughts repeatedly telling himself to calm down before stepping into the hallway. It was unusually cold, causing a shiver to trickle down his body. He walked to the thermostat and turned it on, igniting the heating. Megan's bedroom door was already open, but she was nowhere to be seen. Her bed was messy, with the sheets still scrunched to the side. An odd sight, as she always made a point of making the bed before leaving the room each morning. He turned to the hall and began to creep down the stairs, keen to make himself a cup of coffee so he could wake up a little more. But once halfway down, he suddenly paused, his eyes filled with confusion. The front door was wide open, allowing cold air to blast inside with the wind that carried it. He looked back at Megan's bedroom once again, calling her name, but she didn't respond. He paced downstairs, checking outside to see if she was anywhere to be seen, but both her and her car were gone. Josiah slowly closed the front door as he turned to face inside the house. He called out again, just in case, but once again, there was no response. By now, his worry had grown to a panic. Something didn't feel right about this, especially after the events of last night. He pulled his phone from his pocket, pacing into the kitchen as he began to ring her, checking every inch of the house to ensure nobody else was inside. Finally, she answered, although she did not sound happy to hear from him, responding with, "What do you want?" instead of her usual "Hey." He asked her where she was and why the front door was left wide open. But in response, she only laughed in disbelief, furious that he was now acting as if he didn't know what was happening. She paused for a moment, clearly figuring out whether she wanted to even continue the conversation. But for whatever reason, she decided to explain it to him, albeit with a very distressed and passive-aggressive tone. She told him that she had awoken in the night to see him standing over her bed, reaching down at her as if he was about to grab her by the neck. He explained that he didn't understand. He hadn't even left his room the night before, but she didn't believe him. He asked her if she had seen his face. Was she confident that it was, in fact, him over her bed? She paused for a moment as she reconsidered. But after a beat of silence, she replied, "Don't contact me. I'm considering calling the police, but I don't know. Just leave me alone." And with that, she hung up the phone. In many ways, she sounded just as confused as he was. He could understand why she would assume that it was him over her bed. But because she hadn't instantly called the police, he knew that there was more going on here than she had stated. He began to wonder if she, too, was being visited by these shadow people who were creeping around the house at night. She was scared. That much was clear. But so was he. How was he to know where this would go? Would they suddenly stop? Would they ever stop? Will this end up destroying his life? How was he to answer any of this when he had no idea what they even wanted from him to begin with? All you would need to do is type in shadow people sightings in a search engine to find a significant amount of video uploads from all around the world, showing the horrifying shapes of these shadowy beings haunting the homes of several individuals. Viewers in the comment sections consistently argue over the validity of them, with doors slowly opening by themselves and dark figures peeking around corners. Some of these videos are, at most, fairly daft, but some are able to evoke very real dread and horror, scaring audiences worldwide. Reported sightings of shadow people have appeared in several contexts, whether at home, on the streets, or in abandoned locations. However, none of these are as consistent as the reports of their arrival during sleep. It is here where the shadow people blur between the notion of sleep paralysis demons, with many claiming that they appear in their rooms whilst they lay in bed, completely unable to move. What's so fascinating about these stories is not just how many people have experienced the arrival of the shadow people during an episode of sleep paralysis, but also how similar the descriptions of these beings are. This has only accelerated the belief in shadow people. As with the birth of the internet came a platform for many worldwide to share their experiences, all realizing that the things they have seen and are describing are extremely similar. However, it is not just their descriptions that cause such a stir amongst those who recognize them. It was also the feeling they created. Many who have witnessed the shadow people have described a sense of absolute dread, a sensation of overwhelming fear and horror as they drew closer. Like any thrilling story, it is the mystery of these beings that cause fear in the hearts of those who hear them. When it comes to an apparent creature, we know it to be a physical being in our realm. With a spirit, it is widely accepted as the dead returning. However, with shadow people, it is not as clear. They are a mystery beyond the realms of general understanding. These entities are considered to be different things to many different people. Why they are here and what they may want with us varies and is often a mystery to even the firmest of believers. Sure, they'll have their theories, but they'll also acknowledge that there is still so much to understand about them. Within this confusing state of the unknown, these shadows exist between the notions of what we know and what we never will. Cases of these beings causing harm are rare. Although, even with this considered, you will find a consistent fear amongst believers. The horrors the victims feel when approached by one of these shadow people are undeniable to those who have experienced it. It is most commonly described as an overwhelming feeling of dread, with their presence being enough to strike fear into the hearts of those that witness them. And although they often lurk in the shadows, simply watching, the horror they create is unfathomable, with many claiming that they consistently felt as though their presence was threatening. Some have even argued that these shadowy figures have attempted to hurt them, leaving bruises or marks on their arms and necks. It is not hard to see why these spectral beings are considered unnerving and horrifying to those who experience them, especially in a setting of sleep paralysis. Imagine waking up in the middle of the night and being unable to move any part of your body. This is a nightmarish thought, one that is experienced by millions worldwide. But imagine that on top of this, you were to look across the room and bear witness to a looming dark figure, sometimes with glowing red eyes, edging slowly closer towards you. There is nowhere you can run. There is no way for you to call out for help. You are completely motionless, unable to escape the shadow coming straight for you with menacing intent. This is a dreadful encounter that I wouldn't wish on anyone. A horrifying turn of events that, whether you believe in the existence of shadow people or not, is a very real human phenomenon. Whether the shadow people in the bedroom at night are there or not is irrelevant when we consider the absolute fear that the victims must be feeling in that moment. It isn't easy to think logically when half asleep, completely paralyzed, and witnessing a demonic-like presence right in front of your very eyes. Shadow people remain a reoccurring feature in folklore, consistently appearing in the studies of paranormal activity and cryptids. They have seemingly existed amongst cultures for hundreds of years, with some pointing out the striking similarities between shadow people and many of the ghost stories told throughout several cultures' histories. There are many tales of beings that are tall, shadowy specters, often humanoid in shape, evoking feelings of dread and despair amongst those that cross their paths. It isn't hard to see how easy it is to merge the notion of shadow people into other stories. Their very nature is so vague and mysterious that it opens them to interpretation, allowing them to be overlaid onto previous legends that may have otherwise claimed no connection. It is also not out of the realm of possibility that this psychological phenomenon was also the inspiration behind their legends, just as they are for this. Although looking at this from the believer's perspective, it is also justifiable to connect the monsters of older legends and their more modern interpretations. As it is understood today, a shadow person is less specific than many other legends, opening the doors for several interpretations to make their way into the darkest parts of the psyche. These beings are far more vague in their description, only known as mysterious humanoid figures made of shadow. Sightings of shadow people and the stories that come with this have exploded over recent years, becoming a massive staple in supernatural circles across the web. This could be due to several factors, with the most logical being that the stories are more accessible to spread due to the internet, and reported sightings are easier to get out into the world. However, some suggest that the reason is more base level, due to them growing more bold in their visits. Some question whether something has, in fact, changed within the world that has left us more susceptible to their existence. No longer are the shadowy figures described as being a blur in the corner of your eye, disappearing from sight the moment you turn to look at them. Now, people claim to be able to stare directly at the shadow people that haunt them from the dark, with some even claiming to witness the figure's red eyes staring back at them. Some have even argued that our perception of shadow people can grow as we elevate through our mental states, with those within higher frequencies able to even avert their eyes from the shadow person without a change in their appearance. Some have even claimed to witness several shadow people at once, even going as far as to interact with one another. Some paranormal authors have described them as menacing or evil, whilst others have considered them more neutral, simply curious by us, watching us from the void. Some authors have even gone so far as to suggest that the beings may be helpful, here to warn us of upcoming events, harbingers of doom, with their arrival suggesting that ruin was soon to come. This meant several potential outcomes, either the approaching death of the one that sees them, or something more widespread, like the failings of a harvest or the coming of a plague. Some have even gone as far as to claim their arrival could be a warning of a natural disaster, such as a flood or an earthquake, similar to the Mothman legend. On occasions, they take more specific shapes, with the most famous sightings being that of the Hat Man. This is a title given to a consistently seen shadow person, widely spread worldwide, now being connected through social media. This particular shadow person is often described as wearing a long trench coat and a hat of some description, although this is almost always a fedora. It is almost always told the same way, very much staying true to the other shadow people that have been witnessed. It simply stands in the corner of the room and watches before disappearing. However, there are those who have described seeing this Hat Man figure out and about, who have observed it simply turning and walking away. This has led many of its believers to accept it as a curious being, rather than a dangerous one. As they are known today, shadow people first began their invasion of the mainstream through the Coast to Coast AM late night radio talk show in 2001. On the 12th of April, the shadow people were discussed at length when the host, Art Bell, interviewed a man claiming to be a Native American elder, Thunder Strikes, who was also known as Harley Swiftdeer Reagan. During this dark and spooky conversation, the host encouraged their listeners to submit drawings of any shadow creatures they may have witnessed. This evoked a significant response, with many drawings submitted to the show, where they were immediately shared publicly on the website. In October of the same year, writer Heidi Hollis published her first of several books covering the topics of shadow people. She described them as dark silhouettes with human shapes and profiles that flicker in and out of our peripheral vision. She also claimed that people had even reported shadow people attempting to jump on their chests and choke them, an action that strongly connects them to beliefs that travel beyond generations. Several cultures, religions, and legends share similar descriptions of certain supernatural entities known as shades of the underworld. Shadowy figures have been staples of folklore and spooky stories for many years. According to Islamic beliefs, jinn are creatures that are from a world other than that of humankind and are capable of causing genuine physical and mental harm to human beings. They are known to take different shapes depending on their actions, sometimes appearing as shadow appropriations. Amongst the Native American Choctaw Nation are old tales of the Nalusa Chito, also known as the Impa Shilap. This is said to be a soul eater, described as a great black being. They believed that if they allowed evil or depressed thoughts to enter their minds, Nalusa Chito would creep inside of them and eat their souls from the inside. There is a discourse amongst believers when discussing what these beings truly are, with some claiming that they are a form of ghost. Spirits are usually described as being white, almost as if they are a mist or vapor. Where the shadow people differ is that instead of being figures of white, they are practically devoid of light. Dark figures in the form of a human shape without any discernible features. Others claim that they could be demons. This is mainly attributed to the darkness they exhibit, alongside the evil feelings their presence evokes during so many of their encounters. Some have laid down the theory that these figures could be human, astral projections of those who are amongst an out-of-body experience. This has been linked to Jerry Gross, an author and lecturer on astral travel, who claims that we all perform astral projection, traveling when we sleep. This theory would suggest that these shadow people are merely us, wandering the earth in a world between worlds. Some take the theories away from supernatural belief, venturing closer to science fiction with ideas that the shadow people are, perhaps, time travelers. It is said that they could be humans from the future, traveling back to witness us in our time. However, if any of us were to witness these time-traveling humans, they may only be seen as shadowy-like figures. Claims can be found that they are simply echoes of past or future events. This plays on the notion of time as an abstract idea, with different segments of reality swooping in and out of the timeline we experience in flickering moments of time. Others suggest that these shadowy figures could be beings from another dimension. The notion that there are other dimensions outside of the three we inhabit is not a new idea, nor is it even considered particularly far-fetched in the world, giving this theory some credence in believability. Those who believe in the shadow people's existence within this capacity suggest that they have perhaps found a way into dimensions close to our own, even going as far as to intrude on our own pain, revealing themselves to us as partially visible entities within our realm. This could explain how they seemingly appear to be in the room and not in the room simultaneously, a shadow of a being that is not quite there. Some have taken this further, suggesting that our dimensions could perhaps be drawing closer together, which would account for the supposed increase in their sightings worldwide. Finally, we have the theory that these beings could, in fact, be alien visitors, visiting our planet through scientific means that we are yet to understand. It would not be the first time alien races are said to have abilities similar to that of shadow people. Those who claim to have witnessed alien visitors have stated on numerous occasions that they could disappear through walls or vanish altogether in the blink of an eye. The stories behind these spectral beings are vast, and the proper explanation behind them is often debated amongst believers and non-believers alike. But what are the scientific reasons behind the existence of shadow people? It would be disingenuous to dismiss this many sightings as mere folklore. The tales around shadow people may very well be urban legends, but the sightings and experiences are undeniably real. So, what is happening, and just how much do these entities blur between fact and fiction? I hope you're enjoying this chapter so far, and we will return to it. But first, I wanted to steal you away for a moment. I love what I do, and delving into the history of urban legends and folklore is as fascinating as it is rewarding. I feel fortunate to have thousands of people listening to my research each week. The kind messages I receive are both heartwarming and reassuring. However, it takes a very long time to create each chapter. And no matter how much I enjoy it, doing this for free is not always a possibility, leading to significant gaps between seasons, gaps that I hope to shorten in the future, and this is where your support is needed. Through Patreon, you can subscribe for as little as £3 a month, less than a latte at your local barista. By doing so, you will receive all episodes without any advertisements or breaks. You will also be able to listen to each chapter the Friday before the general public. On top of this, you'll receive a weekly newsletter and discounts on merchandise. We're not just building a community there, but forging a fellowship of folklore enthusiasts. Join our private group chats, where you can share your stories, theories, and discoveries with like-minded individuals captivated by modern myths. Let's discover what you've heard, what you may want to hear, or what you think of any specific legend. Your support on Patreon isn't just a subscription. It's an investment in preserving our urban legend show. Please help us continue our journey, and in return, become part of our team. Visit our Patreon page by clicking the link in our show notes, clicking subscribe, and paying whatever you can afford to give. I look forward to your support as we continue to unravel folklore together. And now, back to the legend. In 2006, neurologist Olaf Blanke of the Brain Mind Institute in Lausanne, Switzerland, and his colleagues attempted to identify the source of a 23-year-old woman's epileptic seizures. They applied a mild electrical current to various regions of her brain using surgically implanted electrodes. Once they stimulated the woman's left temporoparietal junction, also known as TPJ, they stumbled across something they didn't expect. She claimed that she could now feel the presence of a mysterious person behind her. She described it as a silent shadow that imitated her posture and actions. She stated that the figure that she was referring to as he would lay beneath her when she laid down, sit behind her when she sat, and had even once attempted to take a test card from her during a language exercise. This resulted in an understanding that the stimulation of this specific brain region can create the illusion of a shadow person. Olaf theorizes that this shadow person phenomenon may shine a brighter light on how the brain perceives the existence of oneself. The brain will use sensory information, such as visual and proprioceptive cues, to recognize its body. The TPJ is known to put some of these cues together. However, when disrupted, the brain can become confused, mistaking two bodies instead of one, causing a shadow self to appear as a mysterious stranger. Several physiological and psychological conditions can account for many reported sightings of shadow people. When walking home alone at night, in a state of heightened wariness or even anxiety, our mind will find itself alert, looking for danger that may arise. This mindset is what is usually going on when a person becomes jumpy or on edge. And with this comes the pattern-seeking elements of our evolution. In this state, our brain will now consistently look for threats lurking in the shadow, such as another human or a threatening animal. This alertness has helped keep Homo sapiens alive for thousands of years. However, in its desperate search for threats, our minds can also play tricks on us, causing us to see shapes that aren't there in the corner of our eyes. There is a strong correlation between the emotional state of the individual witnessing the shadow people and the general behavior of the specters themselves. People in an emotional stable place, living in a generally happy time, have reported sightings of shadow people who are more neutral and far less threatening, even going as far as to call them friendly and curious. Whereas those in a stressful time or dealing with some of the darker elements that come with life report that the shadow people they witness are far more unnerving, sinister, and fear-inducing upon their arrival. Although a lot less common, there have been several cases of shadow people having a voice, despite the lack of any evident face or mouth on their heads. They have been described as talking to the victim, at times clearly, and at others indistinguishable. Some have stated that whilst they witnessed more than one in the room, they could hear them talking, often about the person that they were watching. On some occasions, there have even been claims that the shadow people themselves have touched their victim, even going as far as attempting to hurt them. The sightings of shadow people are often described as coming with several coinciding effects, such as delirium, anxiety, paranoia, and intense feelings of impending doom. There has also been a strong connection found between shadow people and drug abuse, as several victims with a methamphetamine addiction reported the appearance of apparent shadow people after long periods of sleep deprivation, blending the tired mind with the anxiety-induced paranoia that can come with this abuse. Although, most commonly, the arrival of shadow people have been known to come when the victim is under the influence of deliriant compounds, such as Datura, DPH, or benzetamine. However, this is seemingly more of a side effect of delirium itself, rather than the drugs, as it is also expected under the influence of stimulant psychosis, sleep deprivation, or most famously, sleep paralysis. Sleep paralysis is not uncommon and has been at the base of several folkloric creatures throughout time. It is a haunting and terrifying phenomenon that many will recognize. A person who experiences sleep paralysis will wake up in the night from a deep sleep, only to find that their entire body is completely paralyzed. They will lay there, often confused and terrified. Even with the knowledge of the existence of sleep paralysis, it would be difficult to keep calm during such an abnormal and horrifying ordeal. However, as unnerving as this is, it is unfortunately not the only side effect of this condition, as millions of people who have experienced this have also described a feeling that they were not alone in the room. Many have admitted to even witnessing figures in the darkness around them. From a scientific point of view, these are horrifying but ultimately harmless hallucinations, with those experiencing sleep paralysis also being able to hear, feel, and see things that aren't there. However, to many who have first-hand experiences with sleep paralysis, this is an incorrect assumption. Victims of this phenomenon have also shared stories of hearing voices in the room, some as quiet as whispers and others as loud as roars. Some have shared memories of being dragged out of their beds by unseen forces, and others have expressed a feeling of flying or floating, often being connected to those experiencing an out-of-body experience or a form of astral projection. What's interesting about all of this is that across the board, an intense sensation of pure terror is shared amongst those who experience it. Not just the fear of waking up paralyzed, but pure, deep-rooted horror, as if in the presence of evil itself, filling their hearts with dread and panic. Some victims have even suggested that whatever was in the room with them was trying to hurt them, sometimes choking, suffocating, or squeezing them. However, a consistent description comes up a lot when discussing this phenomenon. One that has been part of the condition long before a general understanding of the experience had begun to grow. And this is the sensation that something was kneeling or sitting on the victim's chest, compressing their lungs and making it extremely difficult for them to breathe. The shadowy figures often do nothing when their victim is in a state of sleep paralysis, usually standing in the corner of the room or slowly edging closer in the darkness, filling their victim's heart with pounding panic with each silent step it makes. Here, we find the most commonly told story of shadow people, now appearing in the darkness as they study the human that lay so helplessly in front of them. Human beings have been haunted by these entities that appear during sleep paralysis for many years now, and have gone through several iterations as our cultures have attempted to make sense of their existence. In Old English, the name given to these beings was Mare, from the Proto-Germanic Maron, which still exists within our vocabulary today, as the Mare has now blended into the word nightmare. In Egypt, the phenomenon has been considered a terrifying attack from a djinn, with it being known to even kill its victims on occasions. In Cambodia, sleep paralysis has been known as the ghost pushes you down and is instead connected to apparent dangerous visitations from deceased relatives. In parts of China, some refer to sleep paralysis as compression by ghost. In Newfoundland, Sleep paralysis is often referred to as the old hag, with stories telling of an old hag that would creep into your room at night in the form of a person or an animal and sit upon their chests. Victims of this are said to be hag-ridden upon mourning. Amongst the Gullah people of the Lowcountry region of the USA, this hag is known as the Boo Hag, a horrible witch that seeks out fresh skin to take as its own. To some across the USA, the sensation of sleep paralysis has been connected to that of alien abduction, with these entities in the room being described as alien life forms. However, the most famous modern-day title given to these mysterious entities is a sleep paralysis demon, appearing in memes, scary stories, GIFs, and even film. The notion of this entity being demonic can even be traced back to the 18th century, with the brilliant but haunting painting by Swiss artist Henri Fuseli, titled The Nightmare, depicting a little demonic creature sitting upon a sleeping woman's chest. In the modern day, the stories of sleep paralysis are just as, if not more, prevalent than before. In 2015, a documentary also titled The Nightmare was released, discussing the causes of sleep paralysis through the interpretations of several participants, with their experiences being reenacted by actors. These shadowy entities that appear in the night may not be hags, witches, goblins, demons, spirits, or djinn, but it is hard to not be curious about the tales that come with sleep paralysis when so many people describe them the same way, very similar to how we describe these shadow people. To many believers in the modern world, the sleep paralysis demon is, in fact, a shadow person, only enforcing the belief in their existence. Perhaps it is due to their heightened state of anxiety, or the strange between worlds feeling of being half asleep that allows the victims to see the shadow of people approaching in the night. Many ghost stories have also found themselves attached to the tales of shadow people. Even the internet-based, short-lived urban legend of Slender Man held many connections to them, with some claiming that the shadow people's existence inspired him. The pathophysiology of sleep paralysis is still not fully understood, although there are several theories out there on what may be the cause. One theory suggests that it could be a form of parasomnia. In this state, an individual seems alert, sometimes even walking, talking, or eating without awareness, because the brain is only partially awake. It has been suggested that it could overlap the REM and waking stages of sleep, with REM standing for rapid eye movement. During REM sleep, your eyes rapidly move around in various directions without sending visual information to your brain. After being asleep for a while, your REM sleep will begin for a short period before returning, starting the cycle once again. It is typically during this REM sleep phase that dreams occur. Polysomnographic studies have found that those who experience sleep paralysis often have shorter, fragmented REM sleep than average, with less time between cycles. This study supports the scientific theory that these disturbances to a sleep pattern can create an episode of sleep paralysis. Another prominent theory in science is more about neural functions. Here, the neural functions focused on regulating our sleep are out of balance in a specific way and can cause different sleep states to overlap. In this situation, the cells sending the signals to wake the body up from a sleep state struggle to overcome the signals sent by other cells that keep the body in its sleep state. During our usual REM sleep, the threshold for the stimulus needed to wake up is elevated. However, in those who report experiencing sleep paralysis, this blocking of external stimulus is switched off, making it far easier to wake the individual up. There has been little research into potential treatments regarding sleep paralysis, mainly because it is considered not a serious issue, with little to no danger involved. That said, it is a phenomenon that affects a significant amount of people, with just under 8% of the world's population experiencing it regularly, with up to 30% of people experiencing it at least once in their lifetime. Some sources even state this to be higher. As we lay in this purgatory-like state between the dream world and our own, several types of hallucinations manifest in our minds. Occasionally, we may experience a sensation of floating, creating the illusion of an out-of-body experience or a mild form of astral projections. However, a commonly documented sensation is the feeling of a presence hiding in the darkness of the room, even at times revealing itself as a shadow person. From a scientific point of view, this is the answer to many cases of the shadow people at night. The sleep paralysis demon is a horrifying and terrifying thing to experience, although it is widely accepted as a hallucination by many. There is no denying that a dark figure in your bedroom doorway at night would be enough to strike fear in the bravest of us. However, science suggests that although this entity is a terrifying concept, a lot of the fear those experiencing sleep paralysis feel is being magnified. When a person opens their eyes to find themselves in a sleep paralysis state, they'll likely not be able to move any of their body parts, only their eyes. This undeniably triggers our mind's emergency response due to how vulnerable we have suddenly found ourselves to be. This sensation would only heighten any hallucinations we may be seeing, explaining why the figure, often simply watching the person lying in bed, is often described as menacing, dangerous, and evil. It has also been suggested that this mixture of hypervigilance activity and physical paralyzation could cause difficulty in breathing. As your heart beats faster and your breath grows shorter, your body would struggle to take deeper breaths, creating a feeling of pressure on the chest, or even strangulation by an unseen presence, making it hard for you to breathe. You may try hard to breathe deeply, but for some unknown reason at the time, you'll not be able to do so, creating a sensation of resistance, causing our threat-activated system in our brains to piece together the puzzle, resulting in an image of the entity we can see you trying to suffocate us. This will inevitably create a feedback loop, where our struggle will ignite our panic, causing us to struggle further until the events are finally over. This would explain why so many of the entities that visit us in the night are said to sit on the chest of their victims, with their folklore only helping to connect the dots between the sensation itself and the horrors it may bring. Culture itself may be a significant factor in how sleep paralysis manifests itself in our minds. Within cultures where these entities are said to exist, it is perfectly understandable for someone to feel as though it has come true during a state of sleep paralysis. And this would do nothing but create more fear, thus magnifying the intensity and horror of the events. Some have even suggested that this could be exacerbating the issue's very existence. When those who do wake up become suddenly alert, their minds may wonder, "Am I now under attack?" instead of drifting back to sleep. Consistently with this notion are the high rates and long durations of immobility documented during sleep paralysis in Egypt, where they attribute it to the jinn. Research has shown that sleep paralysis has a strong association with great horror and a fear of impending death amongst half of Egypt's sufferers. If you compare these studies to Denmark, a country with no supernatural connections to sleep paralysis, you will find that Egyptians experience sleep paralysis up to 3 times more. In Denmark, it is instead known as a strange physiological event, with overall shorter episodes and far fewer people fearing that they will die from it. The psychology behind this can also be applied to our waking lives. We always see things in the periphery of our eyes. Whether it be our minds playing tricks on us, a shadow, a reflection, or the wind, we often turn to see nothing was there, laughing it off as a silly but innocent fright. However, if you were instead a firm believer in the existence of shadow people, it would make complete sense for your mind to make connections between that thing you may or may not have seen and a shadowy being that may or may not have been watching you. We can talk of third eyes or being open-minded, but there is no denying the strong correlation between those who are possessed and those who already believed in possession. There is a strong connection between ghost sightings and those who believe in ghosts. You'll struggle to find someone who does not believe in spirits and share that they once saw one. Stories of shadow people are fascinating and curious. I find them both haunting and mesmerizing. I love the idea of them, and I adore the stories, although we must share the psychology behind their existence. Understanding how our minds work is not destroying the world's wonder. For me, it is merely expanding on how incredible our worlds are. The destigmatization of our sightings of shadow people is essential. Those who believe in their existence must be willing to accept that they may simply be a psychological phenomenon. On the other hand, it is crucial more scientifically based minds do not dismiss how frightening and confusing it is for many who experience it. Regardless of how accurate the shadow people are in any tangible sense, we must understand and empathize with those who share their experiences because, to them, in those moments, it is very much a reality. With this mindset, we can alleviate the horrors some experience when they witness a shadow person and calm the paranoid feelings they feel afterwards, in some small way at the very least. We are the center of our universes, constantly looking out through our minds. What we witness and experience is our reality. We are a combination of nerve endings, atoms, and cells. We are made up of joy, anger, love, rage, fear, and so much more. If we are to look upon a shadowy figure that blurs between reality and fiction, if it can create feelings of dread and fear within us, then, in a philosophical sense, they do exist. They are our fears of the unknown, our anxieties towards the darkness, and our confusion about our very existence. In many ways, they are real. Simply because we make them real.
Urban Legends is researched, written, and produced by Luke Mordew. Original score by Billy Jupp, with additional sounds from storyblocks.com. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, click subscribe on your chosen podcast provider and delve into the mysteries of our previous and future chapters. To find more, including merchandise, video content, images, and more, visit urbanlegendsfolklore.com. If you have more information or a correction on something mentioned in this chapter, please get in touch through our website. We aim to ensure that all information provided is accurate and up to date, and this remains a top priority. If you want to support the show, receive early access, and have more of a say in what we do, then become a patron by clicking the link in our show notes. For these chapters in video format, simply search Urban Legends Folklore on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads, and join our Facebook group by searching Urban Legends Folklore.